Have a listen to this.
It's time we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all.
So that's a Leonard Cohen song, So Long, Marianne. But that's his son, Adam Cohen, singing it in front of thousands of people in Montreal last year. It was part of a massive tribute concert in Montreal for Leonard called Tower of Song, where people like Sting and Elvis Costello and Feist and Katie Lang all gathered to celebrate Leonard Cohen's music 1 year after he died. And I realized the last time I had the chance to talk to Adam Cohen about his father's music was just weeks before Leonard Cohen passed away. That was actually the first interview we aired when I started hosting Q. The conversation focused on what would be his final album, You Want It Darker, which Adam produced. But as maybe you've heard, there's a whole new Leonard Cohen album that's in the works right now. Adam Cohen took some time from studio in LA to tell you more about that and about a new collection of poetry coming out tomorrow. It's called The Flame. And in it, you'll find never-before-published poems that Leonard Cohen wrote in the final few years of his life. Adam, welcome back to Q.
Oh, thank you for having me.
In the foreword to The Flame, you talk about Leonard's notebooks, your father's notebooks, almost as if they were an extension of the man himself. Can you tell me more about those notebooks, those scraps of paper that surrounded him?
Absolutely. Of course, this is a man who was devoted to blackening pages from a very young age, and there were scraps of writing everywhere at all times. He would wake up early every morning and with a sort of devout sense of purpose that resulted in this tower of song, in these toms and toms of excellent work. And he wasn't doing it for anything but a sense of vocation, a calling. And it's true that to know my father was to know a man who had notebooks practically falling out of his pocket, and they were in every drawer. And as I say in the foreword, I even found one in the freezer one time when he told me to get some tequila out of it.
He wrote that. He wrote, "Religion, teachers, women, drugs, the road, fame, money. Nothing got me high and offers relief from the suffering, like blackening the pages, like writing."
Indeed.
I want to go back to an earlier day of your father's life as a poet now. I wanted you to hear this. We found this. This is the very first time your father, Leonard Cohen, was on the CBC. It's from 1958. He was performing his poems with a jazz piano player at Dunn's Birdland Club in Montreal.
Dunn's Birdland offers poetry with its jazz. And as we visit there now with Raoul Engel, poet Leonard Cohen is reading one of his compositions.
You tell me that silence is nearer to peace than poems. But if for my gift I brought you silence, for I know silence, you would say, this is not silence, this is another poem, and you would hand it back to me.
Well, Leonard Cohen, you've just hit the limelight, if that's the kind of light they have here. I wonder how a poet who is meant to be a recluse in his room feels about being a nightclub celebrity.
Well, this isn't quite being a nightclub celebrity. Perhaps we are tearing a bit of the obscurity and Victorian snobbery that attends poetry usually away. But what we're really doing is bringing poetry where it belongs. Back
to the people.
Not to the people, no. To the hipsters, to the boozers, back to music and back to an informality, away from the classroom.
The 23-year-old Leonard Cohen.
Amazing.
How great is that, by the way?
Oh, he's always had such an incredible spark. And even though, the flame, you know, was tarnished and burned in different capacities and different levels, what's so inimitable about him is what you hear when you hear him.
There's a certain irony there, you know. He says, I want to take it out of the classrooms. I want to bring it back to the hipsters and the boozers and the nightclubs. And, of course, he ends up becoming sort of canonized in the poet tradition. Like his Leonard Cohen's poems are taught in classrooms now.
Yeah, it's extraordinary to see that he was actually a rabbi, like many people in his family. You know, there was quite a few rabbis, some heavy rabbis in the family, and he didn't go into that line of work. He went into something rather different that we all know, but he did have that kind of rabbinical quality. This is a man whose work is being studied now across university campuses globally, whose work has been replaced even in rabbinical studies, you know, liturgical studies. It's extraordinary what he's done. And when I do happen to consult his work, outside of the heartstrings that are pulled, to marvel at how sparkling the language is and always was. And even when you hear a 23-year-old version of him, it's still somehow, you know, piques my interest in the fact that he's always been some kind of a peacock when it comes to language.
It can't be easy, just to talk about your father after he's passed, but also talk about your father's meaning and answer all these questions. But I do want to go back to something that you said earlier about, you know, the do not disturb emails. And that was something that jumped out at me about your foreword to the book, is he was working when he was very, very ill. He was living with great pain. Why do you think he was pushing towards this work right up until the end?
I think his work invites you into your own inner life because it takes the inner life so seriously. I think that he knew that at the end of his life he was riding on some kind of mysterious wind and the grace of the occasion and the urgency of his frailty. When I say the grace of the occasion, I mean he recognized that it's not common for a poet and a songwriter to become more and more and more popular as they grow older. And he went through an incredible amount of anonymity given his iconic status, and emerged after having suffered economic crises at the top of his game at the end of his life. And there are not that many examples of that. So he was in recognition of this mysterious wind that he was lifted by.
You mentioned the economic crises. I want to play you another clip from a Norwegian talk show called First and Last in 2007. This is your father talking about the aftermath of losing much of his life savings to a manager who embezzled millions from him. This is what he had to say.
As a matter of fact, I was fast approaching the situation when I would put my card in an ATM machine and nothing would come out.
And you still don't have much money. You don't have what you have.
No, not too much, no.
But you seem quite happy with it. It's not.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't recommend this as a spiritual exercise. But if it does happen to you, a lot of very important information is delivered to your heart. For instance, I think that every parent would wait for this to happen. My son said to me, he said, Dad, do whatever you have to do on the legal side to, take care of the situation. But he said, don't worry about us. We've had a good life and we can take care of ourselves. So much wonderful information came my way.
That's Leonard Cohen in 2007. Do you remember that conversation he's talking about there, Adam?
Oh, of course. It was a matter of great pride for a son to be able to tell his father, hey, man, you've more than exonerated yourself in terms of generosity to us. Please don't let us burden you any further. This is such a mighty complication to negotiate and to handle. The last thing we want to be is an extra layer of concern.
Adam, I want to play a little bit of one of your own songs now.
Oh, no, please don't do that.
I'm going to do it. Take a listen.
No, what for? It shouldn't be about me, that this wonderful book of my father's and his legacy don't need my little arms pushing it upward.
This is about both of you. This is about you and your father. I promise. This
okay.
Is, take a listen.
They will speak of my father when he is not around,
You'll be hearing his voice like you're hearing it now. And I'll be the son with his father's books and guns, his breath inside my lungs, his words upon my tongue. I'm gonna let myself just fall apart. I'm gonna let myself just fall apart. Something old must end, something new must start. I'm gonna let myself just fall.
So Adam, that's from your 2014 album, We Go Home, an album you recorded in your father's house in Montreal and your childhood home in Greece. So when I hear that song, it does sound like you're preparing yourself for the day when your father wouldn't be around, a day like when you would have to have a conversation like the one you're having today. Is that what you were doing in that song?
You know, for a long time, my old man was battling with acute pain and health issues, and he was immobilized with multiple compression fractures of the spine. And it's a horrible sight to see someone you love so dearly deteriorate. But it's also an amazing feat for that person to have their flame burn so bright. And an enormous amount of instruction came at the end of his life to me. Not just by being in his midst more than I'd ever been in my life, but because he invited me into the inner chambers of his work. You know, sometimes I hesitate to speak about him, but I also think of it as a success story, having risen from the mailroom of a family business to the penthouse making boardroom decisions with the boss. You know, sometimes I feel like even if you told me that I was adopted and that the sort of deep marionette lines on my jowly face that resemble his are a coincidence, or that the low timbre of my voice or my deliberate diction or whatever it is, you know, the we're all self-imposed and didn't come naturally. It wouldn't matter much to me. You know, there's this deep impression that he's left on me and anybody else who's had the great fortune of knowing him. And so, of course, my work has an imprint of his and my thoughts. You know, I'm also in this peculiar position where I'm this reluctant ambassador of all things Cohen these days. So. Yeah, I feel deeply embroiled, and it's a badge of honor, but I do it with some level of discomfort as well.
I can hear that, and I can certainly understand that. I mean, I think about everything you've done since your father's passing, or just since your father's sort of last act. I mean, his last album, Though You Want It Darker, then the tribute concert in Montreal last year that we spoke about, and now you're here talking to me, and you're talking to so many people about The Flame, this final book of poetry. Adam, you've done so much to help us, whether that was your intention or not, but to help us mourn your father and to understand your father and to appreciate your father's work. You've done so much to help us. I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're most welcome. Those are gracious words from you, and I appreciate them.
Have you given yourself the same chance? Like, how are you doing? I was just curious because I know even when, you know, say when my father passed, you know, I was so deep in, this is just, you know, my dad. I was just so deep in organizing the funeral and organizing the gravestone and organizing the cremation and organizing the party and, you know, because we're Irish and organizing the, you know, the music and all that stuff that by the time it was over, I realized I hadn't really grieved at all. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. You know, it's a curious thing to be my father's son in this world. He's left such a remarkable imprint on anyone he's touched, and I'm going through his papers. There are still so many matters that I'm dealing with, and he comes to me in dreams still. I'm embarrassed to say it's been 2 years since he's passed almost. And, you know, I was tasked with finishing a few more songs of his that we'd started together on the last album. And so his voice is literally still in my life. it's a bizarre and delicious entanglement. Make a long story short, I believe that there are some really beautiful new songs of Leonard Cohen that no one's heard that are at some point going to come out.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's extraordinary that he has left so many poems that were actually recorded, and many of them we started on the last record on while we were making You Want It Darker. And sometimes I would implore him, even though I knew he was in a delicate state, I'd say, Dad, just read this. Just read this poem to a metronome, and we'll look at it later. And there's some of my favorite poems of his are actually in the vault, and I was tasked with finishing them. And what's also beautiful about them is that, unlike the gravity and the nature and the tenure and the tone of You Want It Darker, these have a sort of more mytho-romantic, a kind of tone that resembles his older work, something more romantic. So that's also more surprising.
Is this daunting for you to have to finish your father's work like this?
It's such a luxury. It's such a treat. And as I say, it's been a meditation because I have a little studio in my backyard, and I go there with a mug of coffee, and there he is again, this thunderous, powerful, distinct voice who happens to be particularly stirring for me because it's my father, and this sense of responsibility, and at the same time, as I say, you know, it was this feeling like how wonderful that these songs exist and that I'm going to bring them and see them to completion, for not just for me because I'm part of the family business, but for all the people out there who are going to hopefully delight in hearing his language, that inimitable contribution of his. You know, there are these songs that exist that he wanted finished, these incredible, powerful readings that were set to music. And it's going to surprise people. It's going to surprise and delight.
Any timeline?
Next year, I believe.
Adam, you've been really generous. Before we say goodbye, in the foreword that you wrote for The Flame, you quote a line from one of your father's songs. I came so far for beauty and I left so much behind. Why did that line come to mind when you were thinking about your father's life and legacy?
It reminds me of a few times towards the end where we'd sit on his front lawn and a pause would occur in conversation, and he would reflect on all of the compromises that he made, all of the romances he left, all of the family scene that he felt that he had poorly acquitted himself of. And he'd said, you know, of all the strategies I tried to employ, really nothing really worked. Nothing offered the solace that work, blackening pages, being a poet, offered me. And I felt like he was apologizing. And, of course, that song immediately came to mind, which is, you know, he came so far for beauty. He left so much behind. But, of course, that wasn't the truth at all, you know. The amazing impact that he had on our lives, on anyone's life he came into.
Adam, I really appreciate you taking the time today. I know it's, as you mentioned, I know it's a conflicted thing to do, but I'm incredibly grateful that you did.
You're always a gentleman. Thank you.
Adam has helped pull together a new collection of previously unseen poems written by Leonard Cohen. It's called The Flame, and the book is out everywhere tomorrow.